Good morning.
Good morning.
Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sins have been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice cries out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. The next reading is from Matthew. Going on from that place, he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. May the Lord shine his blessings on this reading.
Amen. Okay. This unfortunate Brahma cow fell into a mine pit 35 feet deep about 2 years ago. And a whole consortium of people all gathered together to rescue that cow. The cow's owners, of course, plus also a local vet, Wes Whitman, I believe it was, and also the Tuolumne County Animal Control Officer, and also the UC Davis Veterinary Rescue Task Force, which I didn't even know there was such a thing, but good to know, and Vic's Towing. What they did was, as you can see, they built a special harness for this cow, and they climbed down into the pit, and they hooked the cow up on the special harness. This took several days just all by itself. And the owners of the cow are, in the meantime, going up and down this mine shaft, bringing food and water to the cow so that she doesn't get dehydrated in the meantime. So it took about 3 days to get this harness all built and the cow hooked into it. And then Vic's Towing came over and they hooked up the crane to the top of the little buckle on top of the harness, and they cranked her out, all 1,200 pounds of her. Can you imagine how much work that was to get one cow out of a mine shaft? The article didn't even say how much it cost. I have some ideas about that, but who knows? Now, I suppose it would have been less work to haul a sheep out of a pit, which is what Jesus was referring to. Because after all, a sheep is nowhere near as big as a Brahma cow. An adult female sheep is about 200 pounds, and an adult male sheep is about 300 pounds. And if you think of a pit as opposed to a mine shaft, I think of a pit maybe as being like 3 feet deep or something like that. But even so, getting a 200-pound sheep out of a 3-foot pit is still a lot of work, right? But you do it because it's your sheep and it's an important part of your family's livelihood, right? And of course, if we would do that for a cow or a sheep, if that were a person in the bottom of the pit, if that were a person in the bottom of that 35-foot mine shaft, of course we would do anything right away to rescue that person, wouldn't we? Of course we would, absolutely. If, however, you were going to go strictly by the commandments, which is what Jesus was discussing with the Pharisees in that synagogue, you would have to say that if the person at the bottom of the mine shaft was not injured, you would have to say, well, I'll come back and rescue you tomorrow. Would anyone actually do that? Of course they wouldn't. Of course not. Now, I think the Sabbath commandment is a very good one. We all need a day of rest at least once a week. And I think it's a sad thing that we in our society don't really observe a Sabbath anymore. We used to, even when I was growing up. And when you were growing up, probably even more so. Not so much anymore. Well, so I need to make clear that Jesus is not saying that we don't need a Sabbath. He does. He knows we need a Sabbath. What Jesus is saying is something about mercy. People, he says, are way more valuable than a sheep. You never would say to a person, yeah, you just wait in that pit till the Sabbath is over, then I'll come rescue you. Nobody would do that, not really. And we all get that. We understand. The rabbis of Jesus' day were not hard-hearted. They taught that it would be okay to rescue someone at the bottom of the pit or the mine shaft if it was an emergency. So if the man with the withered hand had been in a pit with a broken leg and he couldn't crawl out because of the broken leg and the withered hand, then it would have been okay to rescue him on the Sabbath, right? But just a withered hand all by itself, that's not an emergency. And strictly speaking, yeah, Jesus could have told the man, come back tomorrow and I'll heal you. But he didn't. He healed him right then and there on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees saw that as being kind of in your face, and that's why they got mad. But he did it to make a point. He's making a point about mercy. He says, therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. The Sabbath itself is a merciful command. It's a command for our good so that we will get the rest and the worship that we need on a Sabbath day. Showing mercy to a suffering person is therefore in keeping with the intention of the Sabbath, and it overrides the rule of not working. Mercy, says Jesus, is God's top priority. And he's demonstrating that by healing the man, even though it wasn't an emergency. Now, it's not always really obvious when somebody is suffering. A child lying in the bottom of a pit, yeah, okay, that person is clearly suffering. But suppose a person is lying at the bottom of a pit of despair, or a pit of hopelessness, or a pit of grief. That may not always be all that obvious. For example, we here in Tuolumne County and Calaveras County are blessed with one of the most beautiful places on earth in which to live. And by California standards, our housing cost is relatively low. I mean, not by standards of Nevada, but by standards of California, we have pretty reasonable housing prices. And we don't have big traffic jams, usually. And so someone visiting us from San Jose might reasonably look around and say, wow, the people who live here must be much happier than the people who live in San Jose.
Amen.
But here's the thing. That's not actually so. Did you know that the suicide rate in Tuolumne and Calaveras counties is double the suicide rate in San Jose? So you would think that we would all be really happy living here? Clearly, all of us are not really happy living here. Clearly, there are people among us who are living in hopelessness that we may not even see. Maybe you can think of somebody like that. Or if you can't, in our own congregation, we have a family right now with a flooded house. Right now, we have people who are our members who have lung problems and eye problems and heart problems. We even have a 2-year-old in our congregation with heart problems. We have many people in our midst who are lonely. We have many people in our midst who are so frail that they cannot take care of themselves anymore and they don't know what to do. And we have a congregation of only about 150 people. And we have all this stuff just going on within our midst. How do you think it is for the people beyond our doors? Do you know of anyone who is in need of God's mercy right now? Fortunately for us, Jesus knows when we're suffering, even if it's not obvious to others. Jesus knows it. And Jesus is going to pick us up out of that pit when we need it. Jesus' top priority is mercy. And it's his top priority because that's God's top priority. Mercy. The good news about God's top priority of mercy was declared long ago by the prophet Isaiah. He wrote, "You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Don't be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. So I'm lifting up my voice to you, and I am saying to you, the prophecy has been fulfilled. God has come in the person of Jesus, and he's right here with you right now. And you can go out and you can proclaim that good news too. You can tell the people that you know that God has come. He's here in Jesus, and they can come with you, and they can meet him right here, right now. And what is this God like who has come to us in Jesus? We know because Isaiah tells us that he is strong. He is his sovereign. He rules over everything. He's got to be strong to lift us up out of the various pits in which we might find ourselves, right? And he is that strong. He comes with a power greater than earthquakes, greater than wildfires, even the Thomas fire. He is stronger than that. He is sovereign over that. His reward is with him because he does care about what we do and what we say. And he's merciful. He is both strong and merciful. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs with his arms and carries them close to his heart. How does a parent carry a baby close to their heart? That is how God carries us. That is what God's mercy looks like. Jesus is strong enough to set all things right, including me, including you, including this church, including this country, including the world. And he is merciful enough to lead us gently and carry us close when we are weary. And because he has lived among us as a fully human being, he knows what it is like to go through the trials and tribulations that we go through. He knows. He understands. He's been there. He's done that. So if today you are suffering, if today you know someone who is suffering, I've got good news for you. Because Christmas is all about God coming to us in the person of Jesus. Christmas is all about God dwelling with us. It's all about God moving into the neighborhood with us in the person of Jesus. Isaiah told us he'd gather those lambs with his arms, carry them close to his heart, and that's exactly what Jesus does. Jesus is the lamb carrier. He will most certainly lift any of us up out of that pit and rescue us. If a vet and a towing company and a veterinary emergency response team have enough mercy to work really hard to hoist that 1,200-pound cow out of a 35-foot mine shaft, if they have that kind of mercy, then don't you think that the Lord, who loves you enough to die for you, has greater mercy than that? Don't you think that whatever you may be dealing with, don't you think that he has enough mercy to save you out of whatever situation you might find yourselves? Remember that famous poem, Footprints? Final lines remind us, "My precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Jesus is the lamb carrier. Jesus does carry us and rescue us. And it's his love for us that gives us the joy and the hope and the peace that we find at Christmas time and at all times. Let's pray. Merciful God, we thank you that you are both strong and merciful, that you are strong enough to rescue us and merciful enough to care, strong enough and merciful enough to rescue us from whatever pit we might fall into. And so we stand before you, and we ask that you would assure us once again that you are always with us and we have nothing to fear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.